Boston Sports Original on the go, wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
Now, it's the Rich Keefe Show on WEEI.
Fourth and final hour of the Rich Keefe Show here on WEEI. Thanks again to Rob Bradford, who stopped by for a couple of hours. And coming up 9:20, I'm excited about this. The Rich Keefe Show wrestling insider, Jason Rossi, is going to join the program. We had him on a couple weeks ago when the WWE was rumored to be for sale. I think it still might be. We'll get the update on that. And it's Royal Rumble weekend. Is this the best weekend in sports, Ben, with the Royal Rumble and the AFC-NFC championship games? Probably the best game or the best weekend. So we're looking forward to that. And some NFL news and notes before we get into Rossi. Frank Reich named the Carolina Panthers head coach today. That was the name that got brought up a couple of times for the Patriots offensive coordinator. Again, not by them, not by any reporters, but just, you know, we took a lot of calls being like, all right, who do you want out there before the list of five names came out? And that was one of the guys that got brought up. I would have been somewhat interested in Frank Reich, the offensive coordinator. I have no interest in Frank Reich, the head coach. Well, that is a terrible hire by the Carolina Panthers, who had a terrible hire and felt like a terrible hire from the beginning with Matt Rhule. And then they move on. They had Steve Wilkes. They showed a little sign of life, and then they kind of died at the end of the year. And then they bring in Frank Reich. Now, the other coaching news of the day, Nathaniel Hackett, who was also a terrible head coach, didn't even make it through the entire season with the Denver Broncos, had those famous moments early in the year where didn't know how to use timeouts. Then he was like putting himself out of field goal range, and it just a disaster. He had to hire like a clock guy for him because he didn't know what the hell he was doing. And, you know, Russell Wilson was terrible too, but I don't know how much of that was Hackett. Well, the New York Jets scooped him up as the offensive coordinator. So, you know, Nick Caley's not going there. That was another job that Caley interviewed for. And Nathaniel Hackett is coming in as the Jets offensive coordinator. And the only reason I think that's of note outside of, you know, a new coordinator in the division, but he's supposed to be an Aaron Rodgers guy. Like, Aaron Rodgers likes Hackett, worked with him in Green Bay. And some of the thought last year was Hackett might get that job and they might go after Aaron Rodgers. And then ultimately they traded for Russell Wilson and sank like a stone. But is this another team hiring Hackett with the hope of Aaron Rodgers? Feels like it. And it seems like there could be something there. I know Aaron Rodgers has gone on McAfee and he's talked about, you know, he would tweak his contract and he's not even sure if he's going to play and maybe he'll play and this and that and whatever else. But it's crazy how similar it could be to Brett Favre, where he might fake retire, actually retire, then come back out of retirement or whatever, and just kind of keep the team guessing all along while they have a young guy waiting, right? For Favre, it was Rodgers. Now it's Jordan Love, who's still there. Guy they drafted a couple of years ago is still on the team, waiting for his chance. And then he might end up on the Jets, just like Brett Favre did. And so I think Rodgers, well, I know Rodgers has more in the tank now than Favre did. Although Favre had, what, a decent year with the Jets and one good year with the Vikings, I think it was. But if Aaron Rodgers got plopped onto the New York Jets, like, oh, my God. Probably be a couple of years there where the Patriots would be in last place, right? I mean, even if Bill O'Brien turns around the offense, which we all expect him to, now what that exactly means remains to be seen. But it won't be a joke. Don't be laughing at it. It's not a joke. It's not like the Snuggie. So I think it's going to be better. However, if you have the Buffalo Bills, you have the Miami Dolphins, who were really good early and then kind of petered out, so you got to figure that out. And the Jets with that defense and with Aaron Rodgers, like, well, now all of a sudden you're going to be at the bottom of the division for a while. So that's one to keep an eye on, because I'm starting to think that maybe Lamar Jackson and the Ravens kind of make up, because I don't know what other direction the Ravens would go in. And they've already built their whole offense around Lamar Jackson, so maybe they just keep him. They finally like bury the hatchet, give him $150, $60 million, and he's back there. So you're looking at other big quarterbacks that are going to move. It's probably just the two old guys, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, and they could both potentially come to the AFC. I think that's going to pick up steam after the Super Bowl, because right now I think all eyes are still on you know, the games are going on right now. Maybe the head coach hires or some of these coordinator hires. And again, the Patriots did make it official today. Bill O'Brien, offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. So for a team that didn't care about titles, Belichick told everybody they didn't care about titles earlier in the year. Well, then they changed their tune at the end of this year, and they put out that press release that said, we're going to hire an offensive coordinator. And then they do, and they make it official. And I think the key there is not just the coordinator part of it, because obviously Bill O'Brien, who's already had that role, was going to get that role and get the title. Because it's not like he's getting paid by another team. That was sort of, well, that was one of the reasons why maybe Patricia didn't have the title. One of the reasons. And also because he's not qualified. But I think with Bill O'Brien, he was clearly going to get the title. It's not like they had technically an offensive coordinator a year ago, but they did have a quarterbacks coach, and Bill O'Brien's also taking on that responsibility. So that then says goodbye in that role to Joe Judge. But I wonder, are you even keeping him around? Because one of the big takeaways from the Boston Herald article today, which at this point you've either read it, you've read excerpts of it, or you've heard people talking about it. Great job, by the way, Andrew Callahan, friend of the show, and Karen Grigian, who put this together. They kind of combined sources because they had so many people they were talking to that were saying how bad the situation was in New England and how bad Patricia was, but also how they think Belichick, in this is a direct quote, Belichick bleeped us. And so they were really upset with that. But then the Joe Judge commentary kind of jumped out because he's at times kind of like a forgotten character in this soap opera, where so much of it is on Mac Jones, so much on Matt Patricia and Bill Belichick. It's sort of going back between those three. We're like, well, the guy that it's also in way over his head is another guy who was a failed head coach. I feel like the most we talked about Joe Judge this year was when the New York Giants made the playoffs under Brian Daboll and then won a playoff game. And you're like, oh, wow, like Joe Judge and Urban Meyer look like even worse coaches because of the guys that replaced them immediately turning them around. But like during the season, like, yeah, his name would come up, but he wasn't the one calling plays. And so I don't think we were as fixated on it. But it feels like as far as just personalities are concerned, there was more issues with Judge than there was with Patricia. Patricia's issue was the guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Not for a lack of effort. I guess he just does it. He's not an offensive guy. So you're trying to jam him into a role that he wasn't prepared for. There's extra details in there about how thin his playbook was. A small play. You know what they say about a guy with a small playbook? And the team was like, well, where are the rest of the plays? Like Josh McDaniels, for example, I think it was like 25 new run plays, 25 new pass plays, whole bunch of like offensive line combinations and things like that, and, you know, blocking scheme. And then you cut that in half, and here's Patricia. And then a number of players on the team, Kendrick Bourne for sure. Again, they're all unnamed sources, but you can kind of guess who some of them are because they reference a number of players that played in the Shanahan-style offense. One of them played for Kyle Shanahan, Kendrick Bourne, a few years out in San Francisco. And just they would ask questions during the film room, like during the film study, like, well, what if the defense does this? Pretty simple question, I would imagine. What if the defense does this? And they would say thing, they would respond to it with, well, we'll get there when we get there, which is, we've all done that, right? That's all code for, like, I don't know what the hell. I don't know. Let me think about that. It's the equivalent of repeating the question, or you're just stalling for time. And then so they probably weren't getting their answers, and it got ugly. It was ugly on the field. Like, we could all see that part of it. And I think the relationship was just worse than we probably even thought. Because, again, great article. Nobody's shocked by the omission that, yeah, the things weren't going great. Because it never went great. Like, it was bad from Jump Street. And at the very least, and again, this is going to be tough, I think, for fans to take, but also for the players on the team to take. They're trying to right the wrong, but what a wasted year. Like, a wasted year for us, like, watching that product, but a wasted year for those guys. Like, how many years are you in the NFL for? That's one of your years? Or if you're Mac Jones, and even if you're the franchise, you're trying to maximize Mac Jones's rookie contract. Like, that's one of the things that Brandon Bean, the GM of the Buffalo Bills, was talking about, although he kind of sounded like a jackass when he was doing it. But he was talking about it. Micah Parsons got into a little bit of trouble because he was retweeting about it. But three out of the four quarterbacks that are in the conference championship weekend are on their rookie deals. So, well, obviously Brock Purdy is, he is a rookie. Jalen Hurts and Joe Burrow, none of those guys have hit the big payday yet, so it's a lot easier to pay the rest of your team. Even though, again, you can kind of move money around with the fake salary cap that it is, but that's not nothing, right? We've seen a lot of teams have success. Even early on, Kansas City Chiefs was before they gave a lot of money to Patrick Mahomes. Now, he's the one of the four right now that isn't on his rookie deal. But you kind of get the point where if you're going to start a rookie right away and he's going to show a little bit of promise like Mac Jones did, well, then now's your opportunity to spend and get him a supporting cast. Like, that's what really drives me nuts, because if most quarterbacks in the league are making what? Again, not the rookie guys. $20, $25, $30, $35 million a year. And then you have like Aaron Rodgers making like 60 or whatever the crazy number is. Kyler Murray making big numbers. But let's just call it 25, 30. Well, Mac Jones is making a fraction of that. So maybe there's years where you wouldn't normally want to pay a wide receiver $25 million, but now's the time to do it. 100% now's the time to do it. And that's another really frustrating part of it. You look at what the, and I don't even think they had to pay him yet, but you look at the Philadelphia Eagles. So they have Jalen Hurts, they get Devontae Smith, but then they trade for A.J. Brown. They're like, all right, we're going to surround you with the right pieces and see what works. This guy got so much better, it wasn't even funny. He's averaging over 100 yards more passing per game with the addition of A.J. Brown. We saw what it did for Josh Allen. You saw what it did until the injuries crept in for Tua. So that, to me, is a no-brainer. So I'm happy that Mac Jones next year is going to have an offensive coordinator, and us as Patriots fans are going to have an actual offense. But if you don't get a number one receiver, I don't know what you expect this to be. Again, Patrick Mahomes is a freak of nature, and he's proving this year that he doesn't really need the number one wide receiver. However, he has Travis Kelce, who's the best receiving tight end in football and has been since, you know, Gronk left. And then you have the Cincinnati Bengals, who have two number one receivers, and then a really good third receiver. You have the Philadelphia Eagles, you already mentioned, have two number one receivers. And the San Francisco 49ers have a number one in Debo, a number one tight end in Kittle. And then Brandon Ayuk is better than probably a handful of ones. I wouldn't say all of them, but a handful. So, like, if you go into another year with Devontae Parker and Tyquan Thornton and Kendrick Bourne, the offensive coordinator, to me, is only going to be able to do so much. Right? It's not a great roster. It's like a middling roster. There's nobody that really stands out to you that you're super excited about. We were talking about this with Bradford last hour. You know, my big offseason question that is sweeping the nation is, who's the second best Red Sox player? Like, who will be the second best player on opening day for the Red Sox? The Patriots, like, I think they have two, but, like, you kind of fall off a cliff after Ramondre Stevenson and Matt Judon. And a bunch of guys that are, like, solid NFL players. Right, you look at some of the guys on the D-line, you look at some of the guys in the secondary, you're like, yeah, that's a good, you know, it's a good player. But is it a great player? Is it a special elite-level player? Very few and far between. Like, this weekend, we're going to see a ton of them. And we'll have an opportunity to talk more tomorrow about the conference championship games. Haven't really hit much. We've had a lot of other stuff to get to throughout the week, including, you know, Bill O'Brien, of course, but Chiefs, Bengals, Eagles, 49ers, two awesome games, at least what they should be. So we'll pick those games tomorrow, maybe some player props as well and all that, and kind of dive into it. So it should be a really good Sunday of games, but we'll do that more so tomorrow, because what we also have this weekend is one of my favorite events of the year. That'd be the Royal Rumble. That's right. 30 men enter, or 30 women enter, and only one reigns supreme. And then they are headlining WrestleMania, at least or so how that goes. So our wrestling insider, the one and only Jason Rossi, will join us coming up next here on The Rich Keefe Show. You can hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Rich Keefe Show. But right now, here's Ben with what's trending.
It's The Rich Keefe Show on WEEI.
Want Boston sports 24/7? It's easy. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
If you smile what The Rock is cooking.
All right, here we go. Final 40 minutes or so of The Rich Keefe Show here on WEEI. And this weekend, it is one of the best events of any year. That would be WWE's Royal Rumble. And to help us break it down, we turn to our wrestling insider. That'd be Jason Rossi. Rossi, how are you, sir?
Oh, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Keith, we are stoked. I'm excited. I'm feeling alive. It's just two nights, 48 hours away from the, I guess the Royal Rumble is the Super Bowl of wrestling, or maybe the other way around, depending on your flavor.
That is true. And finally, a reason to get out of bed in the morning. The Royal Rumble is upon us. Well, before we get into the event, last time we had you on, we were talking about the potential sale of the WWE, and it seems like that's kind of cooled off a little bit. Like, what's the latest? What's going on that front?
You've got to love, like, just rumors and what they can do, and that's the world you live in a lot of the time. But, yeah, that is – it was legitimately 2 weeks ago was the biggest story. You can read all in all the New York Times, the Post, to the Globe. Everybody was writing about it, and now it is simmered down. And right now what we're hearing is that they're just putting their – I guess you could say, for lack of a better term, ducks in a row to ensure that this is going to be the proper future for the WWE. The last thing I heard is that Vince, not getting overly involved in creative, is just back to make sure that the future of the company is placed in the right hands. Mm. And there's not any favorites anymore. All the rumors, the Saudi Arabia to Disney to Fox to Universal, is all kind of quieted down, and they're just going to see probably where things lie, I'm guessing, after WrestleMania.
And so as the shows, in your eyes, looked similar to before all this news with Vince coming back on the board and everything else, like, if you didn't know that, didn't read that, would you assume the shows are going about the same?
No, actually. Okay. I think he looms. I think he, like, I don't know how to say this any better, but if you have any intimidation, like, factor in your life, whether it be a parent, a boss, a former colleague, whoever it may be. I feel like just knowing when they're around, like, there's an extra tensity in the room. And I think that's what is happening right now. If I had to guess, not only in a creative sense, but even from the characters on screen to the wrestling, everything, I think has a little bit extra tightness.
Oh, that's not a good sign. I don't like that at all, because things were going pretty good. I mean, it was very entertaining, good stories, good actual wrestling, if you're into that. Like, that's a shame. Is The Rock going to be there this weekend?
Let's hit it. Let's go straight.
Yep. Let's hit him.
Yeah. If I'm not an overly betting man, I will be, what is it? Tuesday? Can
Tuesday.
I be a betting man Tuesday?
Yeah. Super Tuesday.
Perfect. Cannot wait. I want to say yes.
Okay.
There's a gut feeling that the answer will be yes. And I don't know if he's going to be in the Rumble. But the question was, will we see The Rock? I want to say yes.
Yeah, that was like 1 year. Remember when he hosted WrestleMania? And it was such a letdown. He's like, The Rock's at WrestleMania. And he would like come out like every half hour and be like, yeah, you guys smell what I'm cooking? We're like, yeah, I do. But love to see him wrestle someone. Now, one guy who was hurt for a long time and everybody was assuming he was going to be a quote-unquote surprise entrant in the Rumble, which is always one of the best parts of the Rumble, was Cody Rhodes, but they announced that he's going to be in there. Make sense for me, because I love a good surprise, and they just kind of told you he's going to be back.
Twofold. One, yes, they did announce Cody Rhodes coming back, the grandson of a plumber, will be there. His whole story arc when he returned to WWE last year is huge, because he was a founder of their biggest competition on, you know, in America over 20 years in AEW. He has now come back. He wrestled in three matches, tore his pectoral, one of the most gnarly-looking scenes you'll ever see. Just Google Cody Rhodes, Hell in a Cell. You'll know exactly what we're discussing. But he is coming back. They did announce it. And what I've heard is the reason why is because they believe they have enough big surprises. So to go to your original question, that's why I feel like there's something in the air. And there's somebody else, I think, as well. But I like the announcement. I just wish it was a little more like Triple H was in 2002 when he came back all jacked up.
Oh my God. It's huge. That's great.
One of the biggest pops in the history of WWE. Right timing. I thought we were going to get that with Cody Rhodes. They did a Raw 30 this past weekend, 30 years. So if you weren't feeling old, now you are. Mm-hmm. And they didn't go that route. There was a bunch of other really good stuff on that show. So it will be interesting to see the shape Cody Rhodes is in and if he is the guy to win this.
Now, we, as you know, the Rich Keefe Show, Rossi, we do absolutely zero fat shaming and body shaming. That is so far beneath us. However, you mentioned the Raw 30. I'll just say some of the former wrestlers look a lot better than some of the others do.
We can easily, yes. There is a fine line. I will say this. If we're going to go on the positivity, X-Pac looks great.
Looks like a million X-Pac. Bucks.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him on Saturday night in that Rumble. He looks like he's in good shape.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he could go a little bit. Now, John Cena also returned not that long ago. So, I mean, I guess that would still be a surprise entrant. But do you see him taking part in this?
So, my gut tells me they're going to try to blow this thing out. So I want to tie this into the quick sale thing very quickly. Okay. I think they're going to try to get – this is the highest selling Royal Rumble event ever. You know, they always tout that. But I think they really want to make these next few months huge. And I think you're going to have a lot of those names. I just don't know, like, how many big names are going to be in the Rumble without a – like a payoff. Like, how, only one wins for the men and one for the women. But, like, is Cena in the Rumble? That is the question. And my gut says no, but I want to say, yeah, I want to say they're really going to have some big things in store again because of what I've heard, that they really feel confident in their surprises. That's why a guy like Cody Rhodes gets announced.
Yeah, that at least makes me feel a little bit better. Like, if that's not the big surprise, and it kind of wouldn't have been because it kind of lined up with when he got hurt and, like, when everybody thought he was going to be back. It would have been cool. People would have been excited, but it's just, it's not the same. And you're right. If you put enough of those big names in it, well, then they all can't win. And I don't know, maybe you get somebody over by eliminating them or whatever. It's also in Texas, which, of course, is the home of the Rattlesnakes, Stone Cold Steve Austin. We saw him at Mania last year, and he looked pretty good, actually. Is there any chance we see him at the Rumble?
So he's now buzzing right now. So if you look at any of your, I don't know what a reliable betting outlet for wrestling is, but Wrestling Inc., one of my favorite go-tos, his odds, he went from, like, 50-1 up to, like, I think it was 5-1 as of about 8 p.m. tonight.
5-1 for Stone Cold? Oh, I was just guessing because it was in Texas. I didn't realize the heat was on him like that. Holy smokes.
Things are happening. So The Rock not being at this past Monday's Raw, which there was a lot of, like, buzz around that. The fact that they changed some of the storylines for the show, they're really starting to kind of shy away from The Rock, and now Stone Cold's coming up in this. Now, I don't think these are winners, but again, how many big names are they going to have? But I think the thing that now Triple H in charge, for those that have watched Rumbles, even if you're, like, somewhat of a lapsed fan or hearing us being like, oh yeah, Rumble, do I have to work? No, it's on. If you have, like, cable and you kind of have it for free on Peacock, so just watch.
It's on
fun.
Peacock. Oh yeah. Get in there.
Yeah, please. More Peacock, the better. But yeah, for Stone Cold with Triple H, the way he has worked over the last, like, 15 years, he's been one of the people to put together the Royal Rumble. He has helped. And the big thing usually is other matches set up for WrestleMania. So yes, one will win to get that shot, more than likely at Roman Reigns. Now, what is the stuff that's going to happen in between? So these are where Stone Cold is a big name. You've heard, we've already talked about The Rock. We've talked about, there's other, Cody Rhodes is going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, all the wrestlers that are on there, Brock Lesnar. And now some of these other names that are starting to pop up, it's like they're building up surprises. So just what are those surprises going to be?
Yeah, and I'm sure it's a question they always debate is, if you have a returning guy win the whole thing, you're going to get more headlines on ESPN, and, like, we'll talk about it on the show more than if you had, like, a guy that's there every single week, which for the diehard wrestling fan that does watch all these shows, how do you view that if you're like, we're going with, like, a one-off and a one-off run versus a guy that's there every single week and trying to build, like, your own everyday superstar?
The blueprint was there in 2020. Before the world shut down, it was one of the best Royal Rumbles told. Drew McIntyre won that Royal Rumble. The story coming out of that Royal Rumble was the return of Edge, who had been retired for 11 years. So they can do stuff like that. We've seen it. He didn't win. He wasn't even in the final two.
Yeah, okay.
So there's ways to do it. So I think that's the route they could take if they're setting up matches for the future. So some of the other names, Keith, that are being bandied about at this point is Logan Paul.
Right.
Who has proved himself to be a rather very talented in-ring.
He's good.
He had some sort of injury. He fought in Saudi Arabia against Roman Reigns, but he seems to be recovered. And there's a lot of rumors of him and John Cena. So there you go. If you put them both in this Rumble, maybe they eliminate one, you know, Logan Paul eliminates Cena. That's a big shock. Stone Cold, the rumors are still kind of swirling about him. There's rumors of Brock Lesnar match that that man, that just that kind of scares me for his neck issues, but these guys protect each other. There's rumors of could there be somebody else that's like in that in-between. If you're watching any of the current product, there's a guy by the name of L.A. Knight, extremely entertaining, can take losses, would be a great just like guy to kind of get beat up by him. So there's reasons for these guys to be in it. Just what are they going to set up and who is the one that eventually is going to win? And is this the end of the Roman Reigns run at WrestleMania?
So you mentioned L.A. Knight, and he is scheduled to have a Mountain Dew pitch black match with Bray Wyatt. So I don't watch every single week. I'm all in on the Rumble, and I love Bray Wyatt, and I'll watch like his promos and everything else. But what the hell is a Mountain Dew pitch black match?
It's called Here's a Boatload of Money. Yeah. You do whatever you will. I saw a prototype. I don't know how to best say it. I saw a source sent me an image of a practice. So there's going to be a lot of neon colors and there's going to be darkness. So it's going to basically be like a glow in the dark match. That's the best way what I can explain what I've seen.
What's the point of that?
My guess is because if Bray Wyatt's character is kind of like, if you're not a current fan, it's like the Undertaker has kind of has mystique, has some spookiness, has some superpowers kind of to it. That there's this like Uncle Howdy character. I think they'll get involved. You don't have to really see them do much of the movements. Right. It's going to be in darkness. I'm guessing LA Knight wins this match in a weird way because I think they'll be interference.
Yeah, Ben wants them to wrestle on Mountain Dew bottles. They just fill the ring with Mountain Dews and then they just have to wrestle each other. Or it's just a competition who can drink the most Mountain Dew, which
or
I would
just, why don't we
love that.
Well, would you win? Are you down with do the Dew?
Oh my God, do I love it. Yeah. I'd be great at that.
Not for me. I will say that I also wouldn't be surprised if there was a bath of Mountain Dew.
Yep. I like that. That'd be really good.
We'll get the kids talking.
Roman Reigns has been champion for like 10 years. Is that what it feels like?
He has not lost a match in over 3 years. He's been champion for 800 something days.
That's insane. Like, didn't even Hogan lost every once in a while. First of all, from what I have watched, the story is the best thing they have going. It's one of the best things on TV, this whole bloodline thing with Roman Reigns and his cousins, the Usos, and their brother. And then Sami Zayn, I think, is the best guy going right now. I think I love Sami Zayn. I'm looking forward to whatever they do with him going forward. But how much longer? Like, what's the plan here in your eyes with Reigns, who's just been walking around with the belt for, like you said, a whole Olympiad?
So the two things I've heard is that they're trying to figure out, do they want him to pass 1,000 days, which would be sometime in November? Do they want to pull the trigger on him losing one or both of these belts, because he holds both belts, which have some for some reason never combined. My gut tells me we're going to get to Rock and Roman at this WrestleMania. The reason my gut goes there is because there is the XFL that The Rock is behind. We haven't gotten much press about it. You see a little bit of commercials here or there, but I think this is going to be the biggest way for him to be in front of it on that Fox crowd on Friday nights. So my gut tells me that's happening. For the belts, I don't know. Is he going to lose it before? Are they going to do double duty at WrestleMania? I personally wouldn't mind him being in that match, losing to Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns continue this and give WWE one more full year to really have a future plan.
So
if not, it's
Reigns and Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is another guy that's great. And so that's the match on Saturday. They keep waiting for, and for those that don't know, the guy Sami Zayn I mentioned, he and Kevin Owens are like longtime best friends. And then in wrestling, they've been both friends, rivals. Like it's nonstop. Yeah, right. Now, how much longer do you think Sami Zayn's involved in this bloodline storyline until he turns or whatever?
So I think it's this Saturday. It's at least the final nail. I think it's a major point. So I don't know if it will happen in that title match. Placement in the card is going to be huge. When is the Rumble? When is the men's? When is the women's? When is that championship match?
Yeah.
My gut says that Roman escapes this match. Sami somehow gets involved, does something that like he didn't mean to, that almost costs Roman the match, or blatantly helps Roman to really try to, you know, ensure his place there. And then maybe he's another one that's his odds are going up in the Rumble now too, because I want to just mention this quickly. If this event is taking place in Philadelphia, one of the, that and Chicago are probably two volatile crowds. that you'll get. And last time a Royal Rumble was in Philadelphia, Daniel Bryan was the hottest thing going. Roman Reigns won, crowd turned.
Yeah.
So I think this crowd, they have to the creativeness, they have to be cautious with Sami Zayn. They either have to take him, like literally like take him out on a stretcher, show him leaving if he's not going to be in the Rumble, or if he is, they have to be very creative if he does not win, how they book that. Because you don't want, if you want to just like a Rock, Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
I think Stone Cold is bulletproof. I think he's like the one, because it would be such a shock to people.
Right.
I think you have to be very cautious so this crowd doesn't turn at the end of the show.
I hope Zayn wins. That's what I'm rooting for. Who do you
think?
It
would be, that would be the best. If you, again, you kind of asked the question earlier, if you're a week to week, if you are a diehard, if you're one of the, you know, 3-ish million fans throughout the week that are watching the WWE product, that's what you want.
Because
they have proven to be, that will be a great story ending, but they have tickets to sell. They have headlines to reach. They have multi, you know, they want to be talked about across the country. So my gut says it's The Rock. I think The Rock is, I think there's something there for him. I think this is going to work out with Rock is the, in the Rumble, wins the Rumble. If not, it's Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, that'd be pretty badass. All right, so you're going with The Rock or Cody. Who's going to win the Women's Rumble, you think?
So there's the one. Right now, 7 women out of 30 are announced. So,
ooh, all surprises.
Yeah, a lot of surprises or who's that? There's a character by the name of Rhea Ripley, who has just been an outstanding, if you're into the old Dominatrix look, tune in on Saturday.
Okay.
In a tall drink of water as well.
Right.
But she's kind of the odds on favorite. She's the one that probably makes the most sense. Your champions are both baby faces and Bianca Belair and Charlotte currently. She could be someone that kind of shakes that up a little bit, and this could be her star making performance. But I think I see another big surprise somewhere in there. Becky Lynch is one. I think she's another one that you can do anything with. Ronda Rousey, same thing. She's not scheduled to be on the show either, which is odd. But I think the women's one's a little more open. It's going to be more interesting of a watch, where like the men's, you're like waiting for something and could be disappointed if you've built in any hype.
Scheduling wise, didn't it used to be on the week before the Super Bowl? So there was like no football the whole weekend. Like there was like their own thing. I feel like that was probably better.
It was weird for a while. It was in that exact weekend you're talking about, which was perfect in a lot of ways. Then they had it on the same night for a few years, the same as the AFC and NFC championship weekend.
Terrible.
And obviously locally Patriots were in there. What was it? 9-8 straight years. So it was always like, if they had the later game, I was like, ah, damn it. Like I had to, you know, flip about, or your pay-per-view. You're like, am I spending this extra money? Anywho, now all of their premium live events, because that's what they're called, are Saturday night. So I don't think they're as concerned about that. And travel, like the reason they did it is because so many people travel in. And think about it, Philadelphia, what a weekend they have coming. They got the Rumble on a Saturday. They're hosting the NFC Championship game. I think that crowd is going to be it's going to be insane.
That should be pretty sweet. All right, anything else we didn't hit on for Saturday's Rumble?
I think like the only other thing I would say is just if you are one to get into the odds and the betting and things of that nature, just keep an eye out on rumors. Like, because it is going to, they're going to try to either just like that Stone Cold could be the biggest red herring as well. Like, right? Like
true.
The odds don't come up like that because of facts. They're trying to get you off the case. So keep an eye on that. And other than that, I think, listen, sit back, sit on your couch, be lazy like you already are, enjoy some wrestling. This is what brings all the lapsed fans back. This is the best event of the year. Unpredictable, fun. Even the bad rumbles are fun rumbles. Even as bad of a day as you're having, this will be the light in the night, and this will be making you feel better.
Well said. He's Jason Rossi. He's our wrestling insider here on the show. You can also check out his podcast, the Pop Culture Piledriver podcast. Rossi, thanks so much for the time. Enjoy the Rumble this weekend.
Hey, thank you, guys. And remember one last thing. You could be entrant number 30 if you play your cards right. So you never know. Just while in everything you do for the next couple of days, Keith, I want you counting down from 10. So you walk into a room, count down from 10.
That's a good idea, because you always get excited when you see that clock. All right, thank you, Rossi. And Rossi's always one for words of wisdom as well. If you follow him on Twitter, at Jason D. Rossi, a lot of positive stuff there, which is good, because Twitter at times can be not so positive. We got a couple of games going on that we've been keeping an eye on throughout the entire night. The Bruins are losing. which is a shocking turn of events. They still have, what, like 5.5 minutes or so to go, but that never happens. And then the Celtics are losing. What is going on here? They're not used to this. Like, maybe one of them, but both of them? If you took the anti-Boston parlay tonight, you'd be doing pretty well, although not finals yet. So we will check in on those games, and we will wrap things up on this Thursday edition of the Rich Keefe Show coming up next here on WEEI.
You're listening to the Rich Keefe Show on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download.
All right, final few minutes here on the Rich Keefe Show, WEEI. Very successful Thursday night, might I add. Rob Bradford joined us, thanks to him. Jason Rossi, our wrestling insider, thanks to him. And we got two games going on we're keeping an eye on. The Bruins are trailing the Tampa Bay Lightning with under 2 minutes to play. I think all my talk last night about could they be the greatest team in the history of sports probably was a jinx of some sort, as the very next night out they might lose to Tampa. But still time left. You never rule out the Bruins. And then the Boston Celtics are trying to make a push as they are losing to the Knicks. So I'll tell you, my bet du jour is crap. Celtics -8.5. Brutal. Get it together. I'm going to fall to 500, which is frustrating. Ben, meanwhile, you are in it still, right? The over-under was 221.
It's going to be close. I'm going to need the Celtics to make a little bit of a run. And
they're sitting on what,
215? Overtime, I'd be okay with that.
Oh, yeah. No, you only need 6 points. You get some free throws here.
Oh, okay. All right. They're making some points. I didn't realize that they're 115, so all right. We're getting there.
I think you're going to be all right. And on a night where Jason Tatum was named a all-star starter in the East, 31 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and again, still some time there to add to that number. 11 of 19 from the floor, just 3 turnovers, so I think not a bad night for Tatum. Everybody was back tonight for the Celtics except for Marcus Smart. So they didn't have Smart. So White, Brown, Tatum, Horford, Time Lord were your starters. I also saw, because again, it's hard to keep track of all this on the fly, but I guess Time Lord after an alley-oop kind of was limping a little bit. He has checked back into the game. So obviously it's not that bad, but still, it's like every single game with this guy, when he goes up and then comes back down, you're like staring at it like, oh my God, is he going to be all right or is he going to miss another stretch of games? But it looks like they're making a little bit of a comeback there. And again, these teams are both so good, and you're just so used to them winning. It's kind of odd to see them losing at the same time, but we'll see what happens there. Good test for the Bruins. And actually, the Knicks really aren't that bad. And Jalen Brunson, even though I didn't love the contract, he got a ton of money from the Knicks. He's had a pretty good year. He is averaging over 22 points per game. He's got like 29 tonight, so he's played really well. And then Julius Randle has got to be one of the toughest guys to figure out in the league, because he's averaging 24.5 and 11 rebounds. Like, it's pretty good. But if you actually really watch Julius Randle, there are some nights where you're like, this guy? You like this guy? So tough one to figure out for sure. But the New York Knicks have a winning record, and, you know, that could be a potential first-round playoff opponent for the Celtics. You know, right now the Celtics are the number one seed. They got a 3-game lead on Philly. And then the Knicks are currently the 7. So you know how they do that year-end little tournament thing where 7 and 8 play each other, then 9 and 10 play each other, and you get the final 2 spots? This could be a playoff matchup. And, again, not a just trash 8 seed. Like, we've seen a lot of really bad 8 seeds. Like, they might actually give you a little something, so I don't know. Maybe we'll look at this one as a preview for a playoff series. We'll keep an eye on that. By the way, it was just the starters that were announced for the All-Star team tonight. I think next week you get the reserve, so I assume Jaylen Brown's name will be heard next week. Bruins down to their final seconds, final few chances here as they try to tie this thing up and maybe force an overtime down in Tampa Bay. And again, the Bruins have just been so good this year. They're riding a 6-game winning streak. They are the first team in the NHL to 80 points. I think they also set the record on the quickest team to 80 points. It only took them 47 games to get to 80 points. To also put it in perspective, the next best team points-wise is the Carolina Hurricanes, who have been playing pretty well of late, at 68. So they're 12 points up on the next best team in the league. So It's just crazy. So, and that game has gone final. Bruins lose 3-2 down in Tampa.
Season's over. Done. Call it.
Porked. Yeah, well, I even though I didn't pick them, I feel like I jinxed them. And by the way, Pavel Zacha had his 9th goal of the year. Brad Marchand had his 16th goal of the year. And it was a Linus game who gave up the 3 goals in the loss. There was also a video going around. I think I saw our old friend Lucy Burge tweeted it out where there's a guy. So Marchand's talking to the ref. Have you seen this one yet, Ben? Marchand's talking to the ref, and there's a Tampa Bay Lightning fan in the front row, and he's just doing, like, sticking his tongue out, but he's, like, flapping his tongue. It's brutal. The guy's got to be, like, 60 years old, and he's just flapping his tongue. I don't know if it's touching the glass or not. And I know Marchand licked the guy once, but still, that video now, that quick little video that's going to be everywhere, that's still you doing it. It's a rough go. Front row, guys rocking the jersey. And look at it again. It's awful. Yeah, look at it. He's like a 6-year-old guy. You know what he's also got? He's got the collared, like the button-up shirt. Like he just came from work. And then he threw the Tampa sweater on over it. So you can see the collar underneath. That's a rough look. But yeah, he's right in the face. He's got to be drinking. I don't blame him. But I don't even know if Marchand sees him. Somebody's going to have to ask Marchand in the postgame. I know he might not be in the mood for it right now, but he's going to have to be asked about that because that is outrageous. So Bruins with a very rare loss. You don't see this every night. You kind of remember it because it happens once a full moon or so. They're off tomorrow. Then they begin or they continue their road trip in Florida against the Panthers tomorrow and then Carolina on Sunday. So a busy weekend. What brutal timing, by the way. So Carolina and Boston are the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. They're going to be going up head-to-head with the NFL Conference Championship games. Like the NHL, and I guess, listen, you got to play your games and you got to schedule your games, but you know when Conference Championship weekend is. And Boston and Carolina, 5 o'clock, so it'll be at the end of the first game that's going to bleed into the start of the AFC game. That's just terrible. So I guess we'll have to DVR Bruins in Carolina because I don't know how many of us are going to be watching that one live. So there you go. Bruins lose. Celtics, meanwhile, the update there is they are losing, but they are making a little bit of a comeback here. I'm sorry, tied. Tie game. So Ben's going to get his he's going to hit his over. Good for you. Looks like they're going to overtime there. Jason Tatum with 33-10. Julius Randle, 32-8. All tied up at 110. So you know what? Maybe they blitz him here, Ben, and I get the 8.5. Still a chance.
Well, yeah, if you get overtime and, you know, here we go. There's still a chance.
All right, thanks again to Bradford and Rossi for joining us. Good job by Ben producing and trending tonight. That'll do it for the Rich Keefe Show. We'll talk to you tomorrow to wrap up the week starting at 6. Good night. She called me late last night, say she loved me so.